Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today on the episode, joining the illustrious Scott Bogman, the glorious Chris Welsh, is the immaculate Derek Carty, the creator, the boss man, the in, like, if projections were Super Mario, he would be
it's Bowser. A me, yeah. Mario.
Say the other line there, Vox. One of the funniest bits we ever saw with Pedro Pascal. But no, he would be the Bowser of it all at the end of the day. Sometimes a bad guy, too. Sometimes Derek will play the bad guy on there. He's the end game, the creator. Derek Carty, creator of Bat X, is going to be on with us talking about projections, talking about everyone picking fights with him about projections, and overall some players that he likes. I think you guys are going to dig the episode today. We always do it differently. I kind of wanted to do the ATC and Carty one again, but I feel like we need separation between doing that. And we do that again next year. But, you know, congratulations to ATC for like three straight years being the number one on the projection side, though they are an aggregate. And Derek for three straight years being the singular of all of the projection systems winning again. So we're talking about big brain stuff here, Boggs, with just a couple dummies.
That is very in a very accurate description of what is going to be going on today. We will be talking to a smart guy. He even says fancy math, which I thought was hilarious for us, you know. Yeah. Probably what he does for everyone, but specifically for us. Let's just
probably down, specifically. You know. Look, you look at our faces and you're like, nah, fellas, let's not talk about math. Let's talk about something a little stupider.
You know what? Good assumption. Probably correct. So
yeah, it's a pretty astute. If you think that way, you're like, all right, you might be on it. So that's what we got on the episode today. Friends, if you guys want to come and hang out with us, you can over at Underdog Fantasy, because that is a sponsor of this today's podcast. Promo code ITL, if you go and use that, you will get a 100% match on your first deposit of up to $100. When you do so, you will also, if you show us that you made the deposit in the month of February, you will be in the running to win an ITL hat. We are going to give away a hat to one person on our Monday Twitch, twitch.tv/inthisleague. We did a live underdog best ball, which you can go back and watch. We also spun the wheel for the winner in January who won two shirts, and it was Josh, I think. It was Cygnus. Cygnus was the one that won. Yeah. I just don't remember. Yeah, Cygnus won, and he is getting an exclusive, not available to purchase t-shirt, and he made a trade with me. He said, how about this? I give you the difference to get a hoodie. I want a hoodie, and how does that work? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So he's going to be taking that home. This month, you can win a hat, plus you're going to get the deposit bonus. You can play all the awesome games they've got. They've got big, big game ones with huge prizes up there. You can check out. They've got single small contests. If you want to just dip your toe into a whole bunch, that low is $3. You can go and check them out today. It's easy. It's easy to download, and it's accessible in more places that you think. Go to Underdog Fantasy, and you can play with us on Mondays on our Twitch, we're going to be doing best balls via Underdog. So go and sign up today. You're supporting us when you do so. And maybe you can win some sweet, sweet cash. Go and do it today. Promo code ITL. Do it, my friends. There's no reason not to do it. Was there anything you think we didn't cover with Cardi that you wish we did? Like, did you grill him? Do you think we grilled him enough?
I mean, I it's funny that you mentioned that because I feel like in this show that I can be combative about projections because I'm like,
I was being more combative in this interview.
I think that's what Cardi gets by having projections. I think that's what, Ariel too. Like if you put out something, you're going to have people questioning it. So just know that we're not trying to be combative. We're not trying to like make a statement. We're just asking questions about the process. Yeah. And when a number stands out, that's what we're asking. I do feel like the last couple seasons, maybe I've been a little more aggressive than I should have been. So, you know,
I think you've chilled this year. Last year I felt was one of your peak projection aggression years, where you were like pretty hardcore. I feel like you were less about it.
I think the only one that maybe we didn't get to would be like, why is Jeff McNeil hitting 15 points? Like he had Jeff McNeil hitting 15 points below, I believe, Steamer and ATC, and dude just won a batting title. Like I know he hit 250 in 2021. So like, you know, the number he has him at is 273. So like he had a massive swing up, but he's a career 300 hitter. So yeah. That's the only question I think that we didn't get to in the time that we had with Cardi.
Well, it's interesting. You guys are going to get an idea. This is an hour of Bogman and I just kind of going back and forth with Cardi. You maybe you'll understand projections more. You'll kind of understand maybe some of the reasoning behind it, and you're going to get some names that stand out. It's funny you say that too, because it is an unfortunate side effect sometimes, especially definitely in what he does. I was just talking about.
I mean,
this.
But that's what anybody does. You know, you put out rankings, Welsh. People.
Well, no, that's literally what I was going to. That is what I was transitioning into. It's like I'm coming off of first off the craziest day that I have had in podcasting, and I don't even know how long. Five hours of not moving. I did my first episode of Rates and Barrels, which you guys can listen to. I immediately did an athletic football podcast with Funson and Seeley. I immediately, when that ended, went and did an episode of Fantasy Pros, which you guys should check out. It's a great episode with Spore, myself, and Pizapia. And then I immediately went to You, Me, and Cardi. And that was like back to back to back to back. And in the same token, my fantasy, my dynasty list unleashed on The Athletic. And I was telling you, I was like, boy, of all the things I'm doing, like
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I'm not great with like mean people, you know what I mean? Like it just affects me. Like I'll dish it back and stuff like that. And I know the mute button, I'm very familiar with it, and the block button. But like I just don't do that. That's not my world. I'm not out there to like, you know.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Hey, getting like, there's on Twitter.
There's people that like that stuff, and I'm just not into that. That's not my thing. You're like, some of the guys...
You do like to see when other people are doing it, but you don't like to do it
watch
yourself.
I don't want to be a part of it. Like, I don't do like what like Cross and some of them do, where it's like every day it's like three tweets about a guy and all of his stats and stuff like that. And what that does is that kind of opens you up to more stuff. So I'm kind of a little bit more insulated. And I was like, God, man, the ranks on The Athletic open enough. Within the first like 10 minutes, there were already three comments. And I dared look, and I won't go back. The first one, couldn't have been nicer. Was just like, this is great. You know, this is awesome. This is amazing. Wow. And I'm like, that's really cool. The third one was kind of like a, hey, just saw something, but great job. And I'm like, okay, that's totally cool. The second one wasn't as bad as it could be, but it was just like, how could Marcelo Mayer tell me how Marcelo Mayer couldn't be that far away from Jordan Lawler? This is ridiculous. And I was just like, okay, like that's, I felt like I got out of that pretty clean because it could have been a lot worse. And the negativity that's out there. And that's just what happens. I can't imagine running a projection system. Ranks are one thing. Ranks are a problem. You're always going to get people. Eric Cross, I see, gets just so much negativity when he puts it out. And he does such a great job. And there's just so many, because he's, you know, bigger following and he just has all that. That negativity stuff is so vile. And Cardi definitely is susceptible to it by having one of the most popular of what can be a very divisive. Well,
it's the most
thing.
Accurate. Like you can crap on it if you want. It's the most accurate. Yeah. By the standards of projections, his hitting the bat X is the best. And you know, he talks to us about this. He's working on the bat X for pitchers, maybe next year. So
wild.
You know,
yeah,
you know, it's a lot of stuff goes into it, and it's not like people think, oh, well, he just hates rookies, you know, or whatever. They make an overarching statement about something in his process. And, you know, he explains that to us, and it's, you know, just thankful that he comes on after he puts these numbers out. I think if I did this, it'd be kind of something like, I'm going to release it. You all can fight about it and I'm done. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel about my rank sometimes. It's just like you to keep it to yourself, like argue to yourself about it. That's fine. If you feel that way, like in my post about my article today, I was like, here are my dynasty ranks, love it or hate it. Not my call. Like that's what I put in my tweet. It's not my call. But Cardi's a good sport about it. He's great in conversation. I think you guys are going to like, we talk about, he had a little controversy with Julio Rodriguez this year. We talk about rookies. We talk about the most overrated and underrated players, which are going to be fascinating. And I think you guys are going to dig a whole lot of it. If you guys want to support ITL, I know you do, inthisleague.com. That's the number one place. Those dynasty lists that I did just put up at The Athletic, it is awesome. And I will do updates for them. But you want the constant updates, you got to be over here at inthisleague.com. As a matter of fact, this week, I'm just so behind. The prospect and dynasty list is coming because the redraft list was updated. We did all the redraft. My dynasty list is done, and I just got to finish up the prospects, so it'll be in the next day or two. You can get Bogman and myself. Bogman's list is out. Redraft. Dynasty is coming with prospects only at inthisleague.com on the Patreon. Plus, you can be a part of the GroupMe rooms. We will send direct messages about underdog drafts or mock drafts or whatever the hell we're doing in our universe. We kind of put it all there, and we appreciate the people that support us. So if that's your thing, come and check us out. We'd love to have you. If it's not, all good. Keep listening to the episode because I think you're going to enjoy it. So let's do it right now. It's Derek Cardi on Twitter at Derek Cardi, the creator of the Bat and the Bat X. We're talking projections. We're doing it right after this.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
And very happy to welcome back on the show Mr. Derek Cardi, the creator of the Bat X on Twitter at Derek Cardi. This is a weird, convoluted thing because it was like ATC was voted number one. It is, but it's an aggregate system. And the number one singular projection system, I believe, for like multiple years now, is Derek Cardi's The Bat X. Derek, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. This is always a fun one to do every offseason.
Yeah, we do it every single year. Now, did I say that correctly? Is that how it's viewed? Because ATC it's an aggregate system, so it's different than your singular system.
Right, exactly. You know, ATC takes systems like the Bat X, Hakoda, Steamer, kind of averages them all together, and usually winds up, you know, being a little more accurate because that's just how aggregating works. But in terms of the systems that drive ATC, the systems that are actually projecting the players, you know, from the ground up, the Bat X has been the most accurate for several years in a row, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's about to say like three. I think it's like a, this is
yeah,
like
I mean, it's only been in existence for 3 years, and every year it's been the best.
Boom.
Continuously, you've been adjusting and modeling new. Can you do me a favor? I know you do this every single year, but people kind of come and go. We one time, a long time ago, we did this really funny episode. It'd be funny to go back and listen to. where we had our friend Rob Silver on, and we were talking about projections. And I've cited this multiple times where Rob essentially in the episode was like, here's my best suggestion. Don't do them, because like all the projection systems out there at this point pretty much do the best type of job you can get. So doing your own is silly. And we've kind of moved from there to talking to, we had one year where you and Ariel were on, and we've kind of gone back and forth. But the familiarity people still might not have with what goes into the Bat or the Bat X, obviously. So can you explain how it's all kind of modeled together and what you do into it? Because this is, it's, there's a lot more than like what you might see in like Steamer and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of fancy math, so I'm not going to get too deep into it, but it's a lot of fancy math. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, major league teams are doing in their front offices. You know, at its core, the most basic components are you're accounting for multiple years of data. You're accounting for sample size variance. You know, you're regressing to the mean based on how big of a sample size you have to work with. You're accounting for aging curves. Guys get better or worse as they get older. You're accounting for minor league data and translating it into a major league context. You're accounting for a whole bunch of different contextual factors, parks, weather, umpires, all kinds of stuff like that. And then the Bat X, you know, I said has been around for 3 years. The Bat has been around for longer, the classic version of it, but X has been around for 3 years and it incorporates StatCast data, you know, barrels, launch angles, exit velocity, sprint speed, different variations of all of those, you know, chopped up in different ways to find meaning and value. So that's kind of the easiest way to kind of explain it. But it's a bunch of fancy math that, you know, does pretty well.
Yeah, that we wouldn't even understand. We'd just be it's like, that numbers, fancy numbers. Math,
the ones that what they put letters in, Welsh.
There's like always this new advent of like CSW kind of came on, you know, recently, and people are continuously, I noticed, like adjusting like WOBAs and Sierras and stuff like that. Has there been any thought in your mind about anything that you are maybe looking or just did add, or maybe even something as far as what you've been doing in the projections that maybe hasn't really played too much of a role that you might consider taking out or have taken out? Does that make sense how I'm asking that? Like additions and subtractions to the Bat X?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say there's been any major changes this off season, aside from just, you know, we have three parks that have changed their dimensions. We have these new rule changes with the shifts and the pitch clock and the base sizes and all that. So that's not in the projections yet. I'm still working on that. They'll be in pretty soon. Aside from that, there's really no big formulaic changes. I am developing, though. Right now, the Bat X is only for hitters, and then we just still have the Bat Classic for pitchers, because there's really not a lot of StatCast data that goes into the original version of the Bat for pitchers. There's some velocity for fastballs. There's some spin rate for fastballs, a little bit in there, but it's not as comprehensive as it should be. So what I'm working on now, I'm working with a machine learning company to help me really build this awesome model that will account for a pitcher's stuff, essentially. Nice. You know, we have stuff, you know, I've been working on this for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now, and it's just has not gotten done yet. There's always other things to do, things that have gotten in the way, hurdles, but whatever. Now we do have public things like Stuff Plus, like, you know, I think there's some other ones out there like that. But essentially, this is what I've been building for a while. It's what I want to make, what I think the next...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Big upgrade to the Bat X is accounting for stuff. And I think the way that I'm building it and the things that I'm incorporating, I think is going to be kind of the top of the line best that's out there once it's ready.
Yeah, because I think Eno is doing like, he has like Location Plus, Stuff Plus, and I'm forgetting
Pitching
what.
Plus, I think.
Pitching yeah. Plus. Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's, I think it's what? Pitching Plus is like.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
Pitch Plus is like the combo of stuff and location plus. It's like an aggregate one. So, I mean, that's always the difficulty of putting like all these together. Can I ask you, and sorry, I'm dominating this, Boggs.
No, you're good.
I'm throwing this at you, and I know you're working on it. The two that jump out to me, I'm very curious, and even if it's just your take on it or maybe any early thing you've seen, I'm curious at A, what you might or might theoretically be seeing on the model with the base changes. We know we're going to have about 4.5 inches on combining both sides of either first to second or second to third that's in there. And what type of, well, let's start there. Are you seeing early on as you're kind of working through this or anticipating the stolen base increase that many of us are speculating? Because the numbers, the Bat X doesn't, I don't think really show currently a big increase in stolen bases based on some individual players.
Right. And it's not accounting for the rule changes yet. So I am anticipating there to be a pretty significant impact with it. You know, we did see these rule changes go into effect in the minor leagues last year. And based on what we saw in the minors, it does look like steals are going to go up, whether it's because of the base sizes or I think more likely because of the pitch clock. I think we're going to see guys run more. Now, whether that's a linear effect, we're just kind of like everybody runs a little bit more, or whether certain types of players are more likely to run than others, that's the kind of stuff I want to dig into more. But I do think we're going to see more stolen bases this year.
So like, how are you accounting for it? Like, is there any type of statistic? Like, how are you going to account for it in like the Bat X when you're running this? I mean, this might be what you're literally working on right now, so I'm not trying to catch you on it before you've even gone there. But like, if you're seeing it theoretical, are you going to maybe just account for a percentage up on an overall tick, or are you going to give maybe higher percentages to the higher stolen base attempted play? I mean, like, how do you think that is going to quantify from a numbers perspective when we start to look at like guys like Ronald Acuna? You know, we can have 5 more stolen bases. Guys that we are going to theorize are going to run more, maybe like Corbin Carroll's of the world, rookies. Would we see him go from projected 16 to 20? What do you think that looks like?
Yeah. So the big caveat is that nobody actually knows. All we can do is form our best guess based on the best information we have and hope that it works out. So I'm going to be basing it a lot on what we saw in the minors last year. I'm running some studies on what we saw in the minors, what that effect looks like, and then kind of a general translation of that to the majors this year, maybe with a little bit of, you know, regression or something baked in just because for the uncertainty factor. And I will probably study, you know, in the minors, were there certain types of players? Did faster players steal at a higher rate than other players? You know, do they get a bigger bump than other guys, that kind of thing? And so I think there's going to be either one of two ways that the Bat is going to account for it. It's just going to be kind of a league-wide boost, or there is going to be kind of buckets of player types that will see different levels of boost depending on what actually happened in the minors, which I don't know yet.
And when do you think that release is going to drop? People can expect that'll be reflected in the Bat X?
I'm hoping within 2 or 3 weeks, but we got to see.
Yeah, I mean, so by March, it's going to be good.
I got a question about like news that we get right now or when trades happen, things like that, like Luis Arraez getting moved, Pablo, you know, going to Minnesota, that type of stuff. Is that stuff that you do by hand? Do you switch their team and position? Like, How does that get accounted for in a projection system like you have?
Yeah, so that's all automated. In terms of the context of it, he's going to a different park, he's facing different competition, that kind of thing. It's all automated. So the feed, the Bat's feed says, okay, well, he was on the Marlins, now he's on the Twins. You know, this is kind of the set of factors that should be applied for the Twins as opposed to the Marlins. Now he's getting these factors instead. In terms of playing time, I don't do playing time. I just take it from Fangraphs depth charts and ATC. So whatever they change the playing time to, that's what the Bat will reflect as well.
I am muted. The last one before we get into like the questions that we had designed for you was based around one of the other things you said, and it might be a similar question answer, like the stolen bases. I'm just curious about the ballpark factor, specifically the Tigers one. And I think there's been a lot of like debate amongst people about like how, you know, there's portions that are coming in and then there's portions that are going up and what type of an effect that's going to have. Like the Orioles were really interesting. I want to give a lot of like extra credit to like Ryan Mountcastle for having, I think, the highest home run to expected home run differential in all of baseball, except three of the top 10 in baseball last year were all Orioles. Mancini, Santander, and him. And that kind of, that's a correlation where you're like, well, obviously this park is suppressing homers at a bigger rate, and maybe it's not so much.
And causation.
Yeah, it's right. So much the underlying stuff. Though I still think it goes with Mountcastle. The same thing I think is being theorized with like Detroit specifically. And is this an advantage for Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson? So I guess all I'm asking is, based off of whatever you've even done at this point, do you think there's going to be a positive home run outcome from the dimensions that have changed in Detroit, or do you think it's going to be null and void because of the height of the wall change as well?
Yeah, so I have looked at these adjustments a little bit already. It does look like there's going to be more home runs in Detroit this year. It looks like the park factor itself, in terms of overall run scoring, it's going to be offset a little bit by some other things. So it's not going to be like a huge difference for pitchers, but for power hitters, I do think we can see potentially a few more home runs. Again, we're just estimating. We're doing our best. Like last year with Baltimore, I wrote a Twitter thread. I did some conference presentations. Like I talked a lot about how it was going to be a big deal. It was, I projected it to go from one of the most homer-friendly parks in baseball to a neutral park, which is gigantic. And I undershot it. Like it went from being an extreme home run park to, you know, a pretty extreme, you know, home run suppressing park, essentially. So there's wide error bars. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's possible I'm under or overshooting the Tigers. You know, maybe I'm seeing, you know, just a decent little rise and it winds up being a massive rise. Like, who knows? But based on kind of historically what we've seen with parks moving fences, I do think we're going to see a boost in Detroit, but it's not going to be a hitter's park. At least I don't have it projected that way. It's going to be less suppressing than it used to be.
Do you think it's going to be like wide round? Because like I'm looking here, like Bad X has Torkelson at 16 homers, Riley Green at 13 homers. The Riley Green ones. Like, do you think it's going to be like an overarching one, or it might be like very specific? I'm just curious, like, because I know you probably haven't run the numbers yet. Like, does Tork get to 20 homers? Is Riley Green going to push to closer to 20 homers in this ballpark, or is it just kind of minimalistic?
I don't think it's going to be anything that extreme, no.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's all the answer you need, because I think that kind of really tells people, like, in building in the hype and excitement that you're going to get, you know, how far is that going to go? Okay. So those are some completely off the topic sheet stuff, but Derek is so great at doing this off the cuff. So now we get to get in the good stuff, like when Derek fights with people online. My favorite thing. We were joking about this off air. I don't know how it's happened, but three straight years that you've been on, there's been something. Like 3 years ago, it was the Tatis thing, the projecting Tatis, blah, 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 blah. And then before, maybe that was 4 years ago. Yeah, maybe it was a humidor. Yeah, I think it was the humidor last year. I think that's 100% what it was. And then this year, we're back to players. It's Julio Rodriguez. So I saw a tweet, and we'll just straight get into it so you can have this conversation. And this is great context, because this gives us better context than just talking about the projected players stuff. Michael Salvino tweeted out essentially like, it's Julio Rodriguez at one, and I don't know what else we're talking about. And long story, the thread gets in, Derek is involved, Rob is involved, there's a lot of involvement in there, in that you are lower on Julio Rodriguez based on the projections, then not even the number one overall, but top five. So you can obviously explain to it. You had a lot of interesting points in the thread, and it's a funny fantasy. It's a classic fantasy thread in general, but the consensus argument from it is that not only is Julio Rodriguez not number one based on your projections, but it doesn't look like he's even a top five player. For the most part, the BatX has progressed him down in three of the five fantasy categories. Runs and RBI are a little bit up off of what he did last year, I believe, but the rest are ticks down. And I know that doesn't sit well in some. So talk to us about, you know, the young guy not being the number one overall player and this whole funny thread.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about young players and rookies when I've been on this show. Like, the whole Tatis thing was about that. Like, a lot of times rookies and young players just aren't as good as people want them to be. Like, they bust very frequently. We do have almost a full season of Julio Rodriguez in the majors, where he was very, very good. But I still think this is a lot of just kind of the young rookie hype and dreaming on what he can be. You know, Salfino sees, okay, well, historically he had a season, his rookie season was like Mike Trout and like Albert Pujols and like whatever. And he's like, well, of course he's just going to keep getting better based off that. But a projection system is going to be objective about it. It's not going to be swayed by the sexiness of his age and his rookie season. It's going to say, okay, well, historically, when we see a guy do this, well, they tend to get on average a little bit worse their next year. That's just the way it is. And that's not to say that projections dislike Julio Rodriguez or that the bat dislikes Julio Rodriguez. The bat thinks Julio Rodriguez is the 12th best hitter in Major League Baseball right now after less than a full season in the majors. That's a big deal for a young guy. That's actually a really, really good projection. Like, it does not dislike Julio Rodriguez. It likes him a lot. It just doesn't think he's the number one guy in fantasy, no questions asked. It thinks he should be in the conversation for number one, but it doesn't think he's definitely number one, and it doesn't think he's in any sense number one. I think it has him more like, I don't know, 10th or something. And if you look at other projection systems, I looked at Steamer, I looked at Zips, I looked at ATC, none of them. Run them through the Fangraphs auction calculator, not one of them has Julio in the top five.
So here's what I find is really interesting about this, because now I'm forgetting where, oh, we were having it with John Legeza, where we talked about Bobby Witt Jr. And a tough thing, ironically, by the way, is Bobby Witt, from a public perception.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by 30%.
Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Isn't getting the, like, he can improve tag. And a lot of people think he's going to regress. And Julio Rodriguez is getting the, this is just the start. Now, here's what's funny. The Bat X is projecting 3 of the 5 categories higher than he performed last year. And this is a rookie. So I'm curious at, like, where do you think the differences lie? I mean, Bat X is projecting more homers, more runs, only 2 less RBI. The stolen bases are less, which will be funny when you run your stolen base number if that goes. And the batting average is higher. So, you know, this is one of those things where you kind of can't actually just throw Cardi hates all rookie type of conversation in, because Bobby Witt's projected higher in three of the five categories, where Julio Rodriguez is projected lower in three of the categories. So where do you think the difference lies in Bobby Witt and Julio Rodriguez?
I'm actually surprised. I've been so involved, like, in the process of making the projections, I haven't looked at every player yet. I am shocked that the bat likes Bobby Witt as much as it does.
Apparently. We found one.
Yeah, because it wasn't big on him last year. And even though for fantasy, like, he was good, he stole 30 bases, hit 20 home runs. He had a 311 WOBA, which was probably around where the bat had him projected, where I think a lot of systems had him more like 330, 340, 350, like a legitimately good hitter. And last year, Bobby Witt was not a legitimately good hitter. He was like an average major league hitter who did well for fantasy. His what he did well skewed towards our game. But yeah, the Bad X is seeing major improvements for him this year, which is going to be partially age-based, maybe partially based on his Statcast stuff. I haven't looked at it, but I do think that's really interesting point that you make about him.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, there's an easy thing you could throw, like, oh, the rookie thing. And because I do think it's tough, Derek, that like these projection systems are not go on like what Salfino was talking about in theory here, is that these projection systems are not really built to build up these type of guys with huge progression off of one season of data, right? So it's like your argument is, hey, listen, this is what we got. This is the data that we have. It's limited. This is incredible what he did. But to project higher off of this, I don't even like what would have, I guess I'm trying to formulate the question as I go. It's like these systems are not really built to do this correct. And what would it take for them to a guy like Julio to far surpass those projections, like what Salfino or many people actually want out of him?
Yeah, it's not necessarily that the projections aren't built to do that. It's not like they're incapable of it. It's that they see every historical player essentially, and they see, okay, when guys have one good year like this, even if they're young guys, even if they're you know, highly touted guys, and they do something really good like this, and you look at what all the guys that are similar to that have done historically, some of them get better, but most of them get worse. And it kind of almost, it's simplifying the process, but it almost just takes the average of that and says, okay, well, if 20% of them get better and 80% of them get worse, I'm going to expect them all to get a little bit worse, because that's, you know, if I were to make the same bet on every single one of them, if you could either bet under or over and you bet under on every single one of them, I'd much rather win 8 and lose 2 than try to find those outlier guys that, you know. And then wind up losing on more of them.
Does it tier them at all? Like when you're talking about this, is this saying that it blankets all players in their first year, or does it put them in banks of like elite level production and the type of return that comes off of elite? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like Salfino was like,
are there certain markers that players can hit that they would then get a boost in the second year? Is that,
or they'd be in their own tier? No, like they'd be in their own tier. Like his argument was, hey, look at A-Rod and Trout. Like, are they being weighted solely against guys in their same kind of production juncture, or is it against like all guys at that age level that have ever produced? Does that make sense how I'm saying that?
Yeah. So it depends on the projection system you're looking at. And because of just the way projection systems are designed, it's never as like as simple as we can explain it in words. A projection system like Pacoda or I think Zips, you know, they'll actually use specific player comparisons. So for them, I would think they're the ones that are doing that the most. But it's worth noting, Zips doesn't like Julio Rodriguez either, at least not as the number one pick kind of guy. The bat doesn't quite do that, but it does different things to kind of capture that effect a little bit.
Yeah, Zips, by the way, 31 homers, 30 stolen bases, but a decrease, lowest actually of all the batting averages at 270 is on Zips right now. Pretty good runs in RBI. It's a little bit higher than the Bat X on numbers, but it'd still be in question about like how far that would go as the number one. It's an interesting debate. Last one on me, because I've done so much of this in Boggs, you'll get this next great question.
Yeah, I know.
Is if you had to take Julio Rodriguez at 5 or Bobby Witt at 15, who would you want, Derek?
I'd probably take Julio Rodriguez at 5. But I'm probably not taking either in those spots.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, I know you weren't taking either. But if we had to pin you down, it's essentially like mid first round Julio or second round, even mid second round. Does that change anything? Mid second round Bobby Witt, is it still Julio?
I mean, it's still early. I haven't done a lot of prep yet, but I just off the cuff, I would think it's Julio.
Even though the Bat X, technically breaking news, loves Bobby Witt. It's his favorite player and it projects it higher. I just want everyone to know that. So
let's get the youth out of the way here, Cardi, and let's talk about rookies for this season. You know, the yearly trope that we talk about, Corbin Carroll on the Bat X, 12 homers, 16 stolen bases, 5 less homers and 2 less stolen bases than ATC. Not a shocker based on Steamer. Gunnar Henderson, 15 homers, 6 stolen bases, 4 less homers and 2 less stolen bases than ATC. And also, I mean, just overall in rookies in their rookie season. And I know, I don't know if this is still the marker. You can correct me if I am making this mistake, but I know that with young players in what evaluators see, they want to see 900 plate appearances from a player to really know who they are, which is what I think, you know, taking a second year guy like Julio, like Witt, you kind of see the strong start for the really good players, then the slump down, and then the adjustment back up, which is why you want that 900 at bats, because you could really get peaks and valleys in there. So I understand it's difficult, but you know, we saw value in rookies last year. So I want to know a couple things. Do you like these numbers that you see from the Bat X, from some of these rookies? And in practicality, when you're drafting, are you taking upside on these players still in your drafts? Or are you saying, they're rookies, I would rather take something I know and I'll get my upside on other players? So a couple questions in there, but I'll let you kind of roll with it. The lower numbers on the rookies overall, and then what you do in your drafts.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. It's kind of, you know, everybody's refrain that projections hate rookies, and
sure,
the bat usually hates them more than other systems, especially Steamer. Like Steamer always seems like kind of one of the highest on rookies. The bat's always one of the lowest, and I'm fine with that. I mean, at the end of the year, the accuracy tests always turn out fine.
Yeah.
Like it is what it is. Like, I don't know. Maybe that is a subset of players that the bat is weak on. It's something I've been meaning to look at, has never been a big enough priority. Because it just anecdotally, like, it seems like it's working fine. Like,
yeah,
rookies bust a lot. Like, we talked about this before, but like, even elite rookies, they bust their first year all the time. Like, go back the last 10 years. Wonder. There's so many of them. Byron Buxton, Yuan Moncada, Dansby Swanson, Jared Kelenic. Like, they're all over the place. And you occasionally get, an Acuna, a Tatis. Like, they happen. But more often than not, they bust, or at least are just kind of like meh. And so I'm fine projecting them that way. You know, I'm fine with it. It's going to depend a little bit on the format. I don't play NFBC, where you really want to hit those ceiling outcomes because you have hundreds of teams to beat. I play in leagues where I have to beat 12 teams. You know, I play mostly NL only leagues. When I have to beat 12 teams, I don't need to take a shot on a rookie that I have to overpay $5 or $10 for. Like, that's not for me. I'll take the boring veterans and I'll make my value, and I'll finish towards the top of the league most years.
You know, let me ask you something on that, because last year was, I think, a little bit more of an anomaly. I'm lightly asking this, but like, did the accuracy still hold up like as more most as usual? Just because, like, no projection system could have got Julio and Bobby Witt correct.
No.
Now, those are only two players. I don't know how many rookies were actually projected, but I kind of think, like, in the grand scope of, like, again, maybe tiering, those top ones beat everybody. It's not one person singled out, but like, because of them, is there a little bit of an anomaly factor that maybe the accuracy overall was like less than usual years? I'm not saying like Tatis would have done that, but this year specifically, those two seem like such freaking outliers. Did it hold up as normal?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not overly concerned, though. Like, two guys are not going to sway things that much. Like, the bat is going to fold in the newest data. It's always going to be considering it, so it'll probably move it a smidge. But even Witt, again, I kind of said it before, he didn't actually have a good year. He had a below average WOBA. Like, he stole bases and hit some home runs. Like, great. It's great for fantasy, but it's not like projections really missed on who he was as a hitter. If anything, I think some projections were probably too optimistic. So, you know, again, I'm not really basing anything off it.
Yeah, it's a tough. Rookies are the most difficult. You know, they're absolutely most difficult to put across the board on these guys. Like one thing I think that, and there's not a lot of like data outside of what they've been in the minors, but like one thing I think that every single projection system is wrong about is Corbin Carroll's stolen base numbers. And I'd also say CJ Abrams for that degree, but there's still a lot of things that have to come into factor. Diamondbacks didn't typically steal a whole bunch until this past year, but like take top 1% sprint speed on Corbin Carroll, the stolen base numbers he put up in the minors, but you also have to start projecting in playing time and how much and where he is in the lineup. So I get why projection.
That's a big thing too, because roster resource right now, and if that's, you know, in terms of playing time, that's what Cardi was talking about. They have him as a platoon player with Kyle Lewis, you know, playing as well. So I know you and I, as Diamondback fans, don't really think that's going to last very long. We think that, you know, maybe a week or two, and then Corbin Carroll's too good to take off the field. So that could change that up a lot too, if you just projected him out for more games. So yeah.
Here's some interesting player ones. I'm actually going to bump this one up, Box, because this is more appropriate for me to ask. Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton is projected for 130 games by everyone when he hasn't played 100 games since 2017 and only seven full seasons. And Bogman put that
only
in
once
here.
In seven full seasons.
Now, you've already answered this before in that you don't project playing time. You let ATC do that. So that's probably more of a of an Ario question. But like, this actually would, I would also throw this into like Jacob deGrom. Like Jacob deGrom and Byron Buxton, in my mind, have these absurd statistical numbers they put up in shortened stints. Do you feel, do you would feel all squirmy when you see big stats pop up in the Bat X from like, I mean, Jacob deGrom in many instances is seen as the number one most valuable pitcher in fantasy and everywhere has him projected at like 120 innings. Byron Buxton on the Bat X is projected at 28 homers, 10 stolen bases. Batting average is .247, which is career low, is lower than the career, but much higher than last year. Strikeout percentage is going down, and I'm not going to like poke at you about the games because I know you don't project that, but like, I don't know. How do you attest to both of like DeGrom and him? I think that they're both so uniquely weird. Like, how do you approach them when you look at the projection system? Do you just look at the number and just move on and go, okie doke, I'll have zero shares. But those numbers are so wild.
I wouldn't even say I'll have zero shares. You know, injuries are tough because everyone is an injury expert, but nobody is a very good injury expert. Like, we all want to think, all right, well, he's missed all this time. Of course, he's going to keep missing more, but like, we don't know that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
For picks and more, want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Oh, friends, you can still see I'm battling this cold thing. It's never going to go away. So hopefully I sound... Does it? Okay, good. I listened to my recording today on The Athletic with the Race and Barrels one, and I was like,
You can't do that when you're sick because... If you are sick yourself, anyone that records anything, you sound like you're pinching your nose to yourself every single time that your nose is stuffed up. That's what you sound like to yourself. You don't actually sound like that. You sound like a dude with a cold, you know.
It's just worse than ever because it's like some people had some nice things to say about like, you know, I'm a lot of places right now, but it's like it's bad when I sound like this. I'm like everywhere and I'm like, hey, everybody, you know, like I can't keep doing that. I got to shake this thing sometime. So hopefully it's going to happen soon because next week camps are opening up. I'm already making my plans on
got to get out among the people.
going to get out amongst the players and all the people. So that is the plan for some of next week that I'll be getting. The rest of this week, we've got a mock draft on Yahoo. Yes, Yahoo Sports is open, and that is going to be happening 6.0, mock draft 6.0, a head-to-head on the Yahoo. So be on the lookout for that. Next week on Monday, we have got another Twitch episode, twitch.tv/inthisleague, where we're going to be doing our underdog best ball draft, hopefully. And make sure you're following the Twitch as well when we're doing all of our stuff. Our Friday wheel episodes, we got some gaming episodes. One of these days, our Thursday just got kind of rattled, but we're going to be playing through the Super Bowl. We're also talking about doing some other gameplays, and MLB The Show will be happening here very soon as well on our channel. So if you want all the silliness and craziness, Bogman and I are also going to be doing on our one a week is going to be kind of a game week, but we might also be doing Fantasy Jeopardy, which the video is officially on our YouTube, finally, youtube.com/inthisleague. We're also talking about doing a, it's not a snack draft. We could do a snack draft, but like a snack breakdown show once a month on the Twitch and a whole bunch of other cool things. So follow twitch.tv/inthisleague, inthisleague.com for the Patreon, which we hope we're there. And I don't know, just stay with us. Don't give up.
How about this? We'll announce a new secret show coming in the next month.
We're going to do a secret show on the Patreon? Yeah, Bogman, you've been fiending for it. So, all right, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do all that cool, fun stuff. So, follow us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? You know where to find him. Just reach out to the stars and you'll find me somewhere in the fantasy baseball world. You know where to find the Bogman. We are out of here. Thank you, guys. And we'll talk to you in the next episode right here on In This League. Peace.
See ya.